Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Spiritual Integration Radio. Today, you have tuned in to Carrie Alter at Insight Guidance. That's the new name for my work that I'm putting out there. And so I want to welcome you all to the show, and I want to talk about the theme of the show. Today, we'll be talking about the brain and perception. And I'm going to try to explain a little bit what it's like to get intuitive guidance, because you all get intuitive guidance without realizing maybe that you do, and some of you do realize that you do. And sometimes we all do, and sometimes we all don't. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But I want to start by saying that everything that I talk about on here is, you know, comes through my personal filter, and I want everybody to take everything I say through your own filter, and then whatever seems valuable to you, you can use in your life, and whatever doesn't seem right to you, just let it fall by the wayside. So, as with everything in life, we are taught in our culture to think that everybody else is an authority. And the most important thing that we can possibly get is how to tune in to our own guidance. And so we're going to be talking a bit about that today. And I didn't say, we are broadcasting from Marin County, California, just north of the Golden Gate Bridge. Beautiful, magical Marin. So I'm inspired today by an article that I read in this month's March 2010 Scientific American. And I'm going to start off by reading a couple of quotes. So first of all, 60 to 80% of all energy used by the brain occurs in circuits unrelated to any external event. So when you think about what they're really talking about, they're talking about the subconscious mind. They're talking about brain activity that we have no idea is going on. 60 to 80% of our brain activity, we have no idea what's going on. And that's what they're saying from their research. And, of course, if you've listened to my other shows, you know that I'm quoting Bruce Lipton, who is a cellular biologist, who says that in his experiments, 95% of our brain activity is actually the subconscious mind. But here's just somebody else just showing us that so little of what we think we're in charge of are we really in charge of. And this is in my face again and again. As some of you know, I'm on a particular healing journey here, and you know, there's some physical issues going on that we're not really sure what is. And right now, as I've been hearing, many, many people who've never been sick before, and people who have been sick before, are finding themselves with physical problems that they haven't had. And we're doing everything we're supposed to do, and maybe we're not getting better as fast as we're used to getting better. And what I see it as, again and again, is there's something in the subconscious mind that's wanting to show itself through this illness. So every illness is a gift. Every event in life is a gift. We always want to shoot the messenger, you know, like the kings used to do in the old time, you know, and it's like we resist, and it's like, I don't want to be sick. I want to be perfectly healthy. But what I really am needing to do is just to allow this flow of my life. And I invite you all to allow the flow of your life, all the places that you're resisting in your life, We just want to melt into it and allow it to breathe through us. Just allow it to move through the body like ocean waves moving through the body. And here's some more of the fabulous quotes from this little article that I was reading. Of the virtually unlimited information available in the world around us, the equivalent of 10 billion bits per second arrives on the retina at the back of the eye. Because the optic nerve attached to the retina has only 1 million output connecting, just 6 million bits per second leave the retina, and only 10,000 bits per second make it to the visual cortex. Now, remember what we just said. That's from 10 billion bits of information that arrives into the retina, and only 10,000 bits per second make it out of the retina to the visual cortex. After further processing, visual information feeds into the brain regions responsible for forming our conscious perception. Surprisingly, the amount of information constituting that conscious perception is less than 100 bits per second. So we're down from 10 billion bits going into the retina, and only 100 bits per second coming into the conscious mind. So conscious perception, less than 100 bits per second. Such a thin stream of data probably could not produce a perception if that were all the brain took into. Let's see, I'm trying to read my handwriting. Took into account. The intrinsic activity must play a role. So what is intrinsic activity? Well, intrinsic means, you know, basically built into it, the built-in activity. So the part of the brain that works in the unconscious, the part of the brain that goes on in the background that we have, the subconscious, that we have no idea is going on. Then it says, in the visual cortex, the number of synapses devoted to incoming visual information is less than 10% of those present. So with all the, I don't know how many synapses we have, but less than 10% of them. We have many, 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 many. And the synapses are the little spaces that where electricity passes information from one little, I'm not going to use the right words, but I don't know, neurons? I don't know what they are. One little part to the other part. So then it says, thus the vast majority must represent internal connections among neurons in that brain region. So less than 10% are devoted to, just to repeat this, are devoted to the incoming information. So again, that's showing you, so 90% of our synapses are concerned with internal activity. So, you know, the ramifications of this are really mind-boggling because we, in our culture, we are such a do kind of culture. And we don't stop and take the time for that inner information to just be, to let it unfold and bring us information that we don't know is going on, information that's amazingly valuable to us and that really runs our life. And as I was reading that, I was very struck by really how I work when I'm doing my work. So here's my new way that I'm referring to myself now, a life guidance and personal growth counselor. So what happens when somebody comes into my office is they sit down and tell me the presenting issue, and I immediately, I sort of make my mind be blank. So I kind of step aside from my mind. And this sort of happens automatically because that's how this process works for me. And then I can tell that there's some kind of activity going on in my brain that is receiving information. But I don't know how it's receiving it, and I don't even know what it's receiving. So it's fascinating to me, because what then comes out of my mouth is information that, you know, I have no way of knowing personally. You know, maybe it's the first time I've met this person. I might find myself telling them, I don't know, the name their grandmother called them when they were 5 years old. I mean, how would I know that? So it's like all these bits of information, these billions of bits of information that come into our brain, we are receiving so much more than we can consciously process. So everybody is doing this. Your brain is doing this too. So the thing that changed for me was that at some point, you know, 15 years ago or so, I let it happen. I don't know how else to say it. So in our lives, the way we normally run our lives in our culture is to always be in control. And I like to say I'm a recovering control freak, because I was, you know, and I still am right out there with the best of them. But when I'm working, it's like I set control aside. And so what I'm really asking everybody who's listening to do is to take time every day in which you set control aside. Time to just sit with your own self without doing anything. And you could meditate, you know, and that's where people are going when they meditate. It's what meditation accomplishes. But for people who don't know, you know, haven't gotten into meditation, you don't have to meditate. You can just sit and just be as empty as you can. Just be the empty vessel. So the cup, as we know, the cup that's already full, there's no room for anything new to come in. How can you connect with that information in your subconscious? So in order, what I have discovered through my work, in order to use the information in the subconscious, we do not have to make it conscious. So always there's this struggle where, oh, I want to know what's going on in my subconscious mind. I really want to know what's going on in my subconscious mind, because it's running my life. So when I'm the one who needs to be in control, when I'm the one who I think is making things happen in my life, then it becomes important what's going on in that subconscious mind. But if I will just allow the subconscious mind to do the magic that it knows how to do, this is where the gift is. Just to allow the subconscious mind to do what it's already doing instead of resisting it and trying to sabotage it. See, that's really what happens. So we sabotage our own selves by trying to wrest control from the subconscious mind. It's like, give me that. I have a better idea about how it should be. Because I've read books and I've listened to other people talk. No. Our own subconscious mind has the best. And now again, these are my opinions. This is what guidance brings me. This is how it's presented to me. So you need to operate from what clicks for you and what feels right to you. But as I see it, as it's presented to me, allowing the subconscious mind to do its job without trying to hijack it and make it do our bidding. So we often get a sense that we're sabotaging ourselves, but we don't know what that dynamic is. And now reading this article, all of a sudden it started to unfold to me. It's like I started to see what it was. And the thing that's kind of crazy is that today I did take a period in which I just did what I'm asking you to do, just to go empty. And not that I don't often do that, but in light of this article, I did it again, you know, just went empty. I lay down and I just went empty and just felt what it was like to have a body. What's it like to have a body? What's it like to lie empty and have a body? What's it like to not be constantly filled with busy brain? So, questions are somehow more important than answers, and yet our culture has us always looking for answers. So questions open doors, and answers, not always, but often, close doors. They go, okay, I know all there is to know about that. Slam. So we can ask the questions and just stay in exploratory mode. So when I got up from my empty place of lying there, all of a sudden my health was improved. I could walk much better. I have trouble walking from whatever's going on with me. And all of a sudden I could walk like so much better than I've been able to walk in months. And it was like magic. It was like, oh, my God, what just happened? And so for, you know, everybody has their own challenges. That's my own particular challenge. So everybody has their own challenges. So how can this magic, how can you allow this magic to unfold by simply allowing what's already going on in your subconscious mind to do what it's already trying to do? And somehow us going in there, it's like we just jam up the works. It's like if you had a bicycle wheel that's trying to spin and we stick a stick in the wheel. Well, you'd fall off your bike. The bike would stop running and you'd fall off the bike. And I just have never seen it as clearly as I did today. I'm just so excited about it. And, you know, I just invite you to come to this place of excitement with you, with me, to just allow, you know. And from so many different places we hear about allow. So people who meditate will talk about allowing. Eastern cultures are all about allowing. And so now, from using this information in this brain article in the Scientific American, here I find myself coming again to allow. And here was one more quote I want to read you from that article that really just sort of struck me. They said, in 2008, a multinational team of researchers reported that by watching the DMN, that's the default mode network, And that is, here's a little aside, that's the brain activity that they haven't been able to understand what it is that appears to go on even if you're, you know, knocked out with anesthesia. It's still going on in the brain, so it goes on all the time, and they don't really know what it is. So these researchers reported that by watching the default mode network, they could tell up to 30 seconds before a subject in a scanner was about to commit an error in a computer test. Let's see, what's this say? A mistake would occur if, at that time, the default network took over and activity in areas involved with focus concentration abated. So when I read this, I just was so, you know, just sort of overwhelmed with how much we think that we're in charge. Again, so if you were taking a test and you made a mistake, you would think, oh, I should have studied harder, oh, you know, or you might, your busy brain might come in, it might say, oh, I'm not smart enough, or I studied the wrong material. you know, it's like we have all these good explanations for everything all the time. But really what happened is that the default network, the subconscious, had its own thoughts or whatever going on that we don't even know about. They were going on. So the reason this quote is important to me is just showing us that no matter how much we try to be in control, it's not going to happen. The subconscious mind's going to have control. And all we're doing is jamming those sticks in the bicycle wheel. So how do we put that together with living in a culture that has 5-year plans and wants to know what your goals are and tells you that if you don't have goals, you're not going to get anywhere? Okay, so here's the answer that's being given to me anyway. And again, you take your own advice. But as I see it, the answer is that you still chop the wood and carry the water, as Ram Dass would say so many years ago in the 70s. So you're still going to know what your goals are and get as clear as you can on the conscious level, but you take a step back and just allow it. You know, it's like don't get attached to those goals. You say, okay, well, as far as my conscious mind can tell, these are my goals. This is as clear as I can get. And I'm going to place my trust in my subconscious mind. I'm just going to give over. I am going to trust it. And so, again, to go back to the way I'm able to do the work that I am able to do, it is only by absolutely trusting in every moment that my subconscious mind is getting the truth about what's going on for that client in my office. And it works because people's lives get transformed without my conscious mind having any idea how I got that information. And so I invite each and every one of you to use that in your own life, to allow your subconscious, to trust your subconscious mind to be the one who makes the best decisions for you. And how can you tell? So we've talked about this before. So one way to tell is to be the observer of self and feel what it is to have a body and notice when there's contractions in your body. That's one way to tell. And another way is this, what I'm talking about the subconscious mind, is you can sort of tell the, I don't know how to talk about it properly. We don't have words to talk about it properly, so I'm just going to do the best I can. The equivalent of a contraction in your body, there's something like that that takes place in the subconscious mind when we're trying to boss it around. And it isn't even really a feeling, but it's almost a feeling. And you can get a sense of it only if you're paying attention. And how do you pay attention? You be the observer of self. Again, you're going to hear me talk about that over and over again. What does it mean to be the observer of self? It just means that you're paying attention. You're taking one step back, watching the movie of your life unfold at the same time that you're living this life. So it's a fine line, because if you step back too far, then you develop like a pathological condition in which you're not connected with your life. So you have to walk on the edge, this edge where you are observing your life and seeing the person that has your name on it. What's going on for that person? How is that person acting and reacting and responding? And not taking it personally, not getting attached to the results, knowing, and I'm coming back again to another concept we talked about in a previous internet call, knowing that everything unfolds is unfolding for one reason and one reason only, and that is for you to have the inner experience, the inner journey that you're having in response to that condition. So here I am on my healing journey, with having great physical difficulties and sometimes, you know, descending into despair, and other times, like, am I ever going to get well? And other times being totally easy with it, going, okay, this is how it is. So having to come back, all of us, no matter what your personal challenge is, that's just my personal challenge, whatever your personal challenge is, coming back again and again to this is how it's unfolding. This is how it's unfolding. So I am to have the experience that I have. So we keep wanting to escape the experience that we're having. This is not a fun experience I'm having with my health right now. It is so not fun, I can't even tell you. And yet, I have a certain humor about it because, you know, my personality doesn't think it's fun. But because I know what I know about life and what it is to be a human, I know that this is why I incarnated. This is why I came to planet Earth and put on a body, to have this very experience that I'm having right now. So we did not come, go to all the trouble to be a baby and grow up, you know, find parents, find siblings or not, and arrange all the events of our life. And of course, this is how it is shown to me, that we do arrange all that before we come in. We didn't go to all that trouble to have a life where everything works out perfectly and we never have any emotional upsets. No. Like, what would be the point? I mean, we have that when we don't have human bodies. So what would be the point in doing that here? No point. We are here to have the experiences that we have. Period. We're here to have the experiences that we have. And then how lightly can I take those experiences? How can I live those experiences, feel the emotions that come with them, and yet not get caught up and be all, you know, emotionally attached to what goes on with them? So this is our challenge. This is our challenge that we have all the time. So, yeah, how to live our lives without getting caught up and attached to it. And I think back to a healer that was national all over the country years ago, and some of you may have heard of her. Her name was Mama Lucas. And we just called her Mama. And when I first met Mama, I didn't know how to talk about her. It was so odd to me. I just didn't, because again, I was receiving subconscious information and didn't really know what I was receiving. But I could tell that she was different. And she was a healer and became one of my teachers. And when I went to tell my friends about her, I said, well, it's not that she doesn't have a personality. She has a personality, but she's not attached to her personality. So think about your own personality, because what I notice is so exhausting about having a personality is that if I were to sit down and make a list of the features of my personality, the characteristics. So if somebody were going to describe me, they might say I'm this, that, or the other thing. If I were to make a list of those, then I spend a lot of time and energy proving those characteristics to people without even realizing I'm doing it. It's like part of my MO. It's what my conscious mind does without being conscious that it's doing it. And the subconscious mind does it as well, because it's identified with this personality. It drains my energy. So if you take the time to go into this empty state that I'm talking about, you will find that it's very regenerating, because there's that bit of time when you're outside of personality. And if you want to tap into your own intuition and your own guidance, it's only accurate if you can separate from your personality, because the personality has this agenda, and it's going to have something to say about everything that you hear. And it's going to totally confuse you, and then you're going to go, well, did I really hear that, or was that, where'd that come from? Did that really happen? So, just that, basically we're coming back again and again to just relaxing around how we hold our lives. Just relaxing into our life, letting it unfold the way it unfolds, and then we put one foot in front of the other and we deal with it the way we deal with it, to the best of our ability in that moment. And sometimes we're going to be more caught up and more attached than other times, and that's just the way it is. And other times will be clearer, and clearer will mean that we're less attached to the results. Less attached to the results. So more trusting that it's unfolding as we want it to unfold, that it's untrusting in the way it's meant to unfold. So we get the idea in our heads that our personality does, that we have a better idea about how our life should be going than Source, which is in charge of how our life goes and which feeds into our subconscious, which is what runs our life. And it runs our life specifically for our betterment, for our unfoldment. So again, every event, every person that comes up for one reason and one reason only, and that is to bring up whatever comes up inside of you. And so when we trust in that, it takes the sting out of any events that are coming up. Because there's a lot of sting in my health issues, because there's a lot of pain involved, but it's like, oh, there's some healing here at a level that I'm not aware of that's going to take place as I respond to what's coming up. As I learn how to relax into this situation, there's a healing that's going to take place at a soul level, a deeper healing than the physical healing that I'm looking for. My personality is looking for, this physical healing, but my soul is looking for a deeper healing. And it's in my very responses to this physical challenge that is where this soul healing is coming from. And I know that it's there. So does that, make it easy? Well, yeah, it makes it easier. Is it still really, really difficult? Yeah, it's really, really difficult. And I want to talk again about 2012. As we're coming closer, it's like things are accelerating. Our personal growth opportunities are accelerating. And this year of 2010, you've maybe heard me say this before, this year of 2010 is a very intense year. And many people who haven't had physical challenges before are having them now. And not only physical challenges, but other types of life challenges. A lot of changes, transformation going on this year, and a lot of people dying as well. I know a lot of young people dying. I have a friend in her 50s who just had a stroke. It's like, what? Too young to have a stroke. But our stuff is up. Our stuff is in our face. So I want to invite you to call in, anybody who's listening. The guest call-in number is 347-324-3264, 347-324-3264. If anybody has any questions, this would be a good time to call in. And so no questions are cropping up. So I'm going to invite us all to take a moment. And because we're on the radio, I found it doesn't work too well to actually do meditations like I had tried in my first few phone calls, through my first few internet shows. So I want to invite you all to go empty even while I'm talking. So right now, and you can do it eyes open, because that's a good skill to develop. And people who meditate, there's a thing called eyes open meditation. And you can also do walking meditations. You need your eyes open for that. And anything can be used as a meditation. So whatever your favorite activities are that bring you joy, those can be used as a meditation. So if you like gardening, you can garden as a meditation. You can water your plants as a meditation. You can do quilting or knitting as a meditation. There are many activities that you can do as a meditation. So right now, just allowing yourself to go empty. Going empty. So having no response, having no opinions, oh my gosh, no opinions. Some of us are very opinionated. Most of us are very opinionated. So, you know, it's okay to have opinions. The problem is when we're attached to our opinions, and then they start to seem like we have to prove our opinions, and then we get all caught up and contracted. So if we can have, when we have opinions, if we can say, well, you know, that's how, what it seems like right now, and then just not clamp onto that opinion, whatever it is. So just now going empty, eyes open, going empty, and getting the image of yourself being a goblet, a glass, like a big wine glass or something. And imagine all the thoughts in there swirling around, and let them drain out through a hole in the stem. Just draining out through a hole in the stem of this wine goblet. Going empty, going empty, going empty. Just allowing yourself to go empty, allowing, getting that feeling of allowing. And eyes open. So the thing that's cool about learning to do it with your eyes open is you can do it anywhere. You could do it on the bus. You could do it at a board meeting. Any place where you're bored, you could do it. You know, don't do it while you're driving. Yeah, you want to be really, really present while you're driving. But you can do it while you're dialing somebody on the phone. You know, just take a moment and let all that swirling around just empty out and just feel the peace that floods in to take its place. Emptying out, emptying out. Draining, feeling the goblet draining. In these moments, allowing silence inside, the inner silence. And I was at this workshop a couple of weeks ago, and it's interesting because a man who counsels corporate people he doesn't use the meditation word, but really he's talking about this kind of process where you just be. And he uses different words. But then he says, the real gift comes when then you start living your life again and you're like refreshed and all of a sudden all these new ideas flood in. New ways of holding things, new ways of seeing things, new thoughts. So while you're empty now, just going to read this phone number one more time, 347-324-3264, in case you're listening live and would like to call in with a question or a comment. And since no one's calling and we're in our empty state, here's a phone call. Okay, 301. You are unmuted. There you go. You're online.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Carrie. This is Melissa.
Hi, Melissa.
You're going to get sick of getting questions from me. You have my permission to ignore my hand when you see 301, because I always have a question.
I'm so happy to call and ask questions. Questions are the life of the show. People.
Oh, good. All right. Well, something did occur to me is one thing, and in fact, I was commenting to someone about it yesterday. Sort of a phenomenon that I've been feeling, and in fact, I was telling him about your comment about Mama Lucas. I think one thing you mentioned one time was that she's like nobody. Was I think the way you put it at one point. The idea of what I've been feeling lately is I feel kind of like I'm sort of disappearing, that it's a weird and sort of detaching from things. We recently had a family reunion of all the first cousins, and my two sisters went, and they wanted me to come with them, but for, you know, a number of practical reasons, the timing wasn't good. But I just didn't want to go because it just felt like that wasn't part of me anymore. So I'm feeling like something is detaching even from my family. And so I just wondered if you have comments on that. It doesn't necessarily feel like a bad thing, but it feels like my ego is holding on to this idea of, you need to stay, connected, and, this is your family that you love, and it's not like I want to go away completely. But there also is this other part of me that says, you can release this sort of need to make everybody happy and to go to things that you don't want to go to. And I don't know, I just wondered if you generally had a comment on that feeling of detaching from things but still feeling some obligation to stay connected but not really feeling like your heart's in it.
Well, yeah. I mean, as usual with you, I would say you're just right on in your perceptions. You always seem to be, even though you question your perceptions. And, there is that place where when you start to loosen your attachment, that you have less shoulds.
Mm-hmm.
And the shoulds are, what keep us doing things when we don't want to do them. And
mm-hmm.
See, here's the thing, is that when we give ourselves permission to do what we want to do and what feels good to do instead of what we think we could, would, should, ought to do, then we give other people permission to do that as well. And imagine how happy our culture would be if everybody only did what they wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's an entirely different place to live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so the thing is, when we start to feel removed, so, again, it's this tricky line, because you want to stay present enough in the body that you're having the experiences that the body is having. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we still want to keep loving the people that we love, you know. And yet, we don't want to be running our life on shoulds. And it's only by being the observer of yourself very, very, you know, minutely that you're going to find out what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to just stay as present as you can and notice. And so one of the ways to do it is to run different, you know, if you're a gut-centered person, as most people are, but not everybody, some people do it in their minds, but most people do it in their gut. So if you're a gut-centered person, you want to run it past your gut. So like you can say, okay, so first you settle into your body and you get really as in as you can, you get as emptied out as you can, and then you go, okay, go to family reunion, and then you run that, you see how that feels in your body, and then you go, okay, stay home and work on my new quilt, you know, or whatever, mm-hmm. whatever you would do if you stayed home, and then you see which feels better in your body,
mm-hmm.
you know, which one has a little bit of a, you know, catch, a little contraction, and which one feels better. Mm-hmm. And so you can let your body tell you. And it's such a relief, I find, to let my body tell me, because my mind, if I ask my mind is going to have a long list of pros and cons and ad nauseum, you know, it's just going to just run me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But if I let my body tell me, and if I just surrender to that, and don't try to second guess it. You know, I go, okay, that's what my body says, so I'm not going to go.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any tips for helping others who don't think this way to better understand why that is, that you're doing what you're doing? Because, like, you know, from...
Well, here's...
You know, because if I go into, oh, I'm feeling, you know, like I'm detaching and I'm trying to be in my body, my sisters, they already think I'm a little out there.
Right, yeah. So people who are operating according to shoulds and who think that that's what we should do, you know,
mm.
it's very hard for them to understand this if, you know, if they haven't had it before. So you have to know that that's going to be a little tricky.
Mm-hmm.
But thing is that the truth of the matter is, for your health, you want to be doing what you want to be doing. You
mm-hmm.
don't want to be doing what you don't want to be doing. It will impair your health. It just will.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can speak about it in health terms. That, you know, because here's what happens is you get stressed. So that's something anybody can understand, because more and more doctors are saying stress is the big thing that makes us get unhealthy. And what's more stressful than doing something you don't want to do, going someplace you don't really want to go, even just because you think you should?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's certainly very stressful. So I think that you could explain that you're feeling stressed and you just cannot do one more thing. You just need to stay home
mm-hmm.
for your own self. And that and the thing is to reassure them that you love them and that you'll miss seeing them
mm-hmm.
and how you feel so torn, but that you know that you need to do this for your own self.
Mm-hmm.
When you explain it, you know, you then give them permission to do the same thing.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, when somebody hears somebody else say no, they think, oh, well, maybe that gives me more permission to say no.
Right. But I do think it's important to reassure people when you're presenting new concepts like that, to reassure them that you love them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and, you know, like they talk about the sandwich, you know, so you tell them, you know, how you feel torn and you're really going to miss seeing them, and then you tell them why you can't, you're not coming, and then you say how much you love them when before
mm-hmm.
you hang up, you know, or say goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah, to just sort of soften it.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people are feeling overwhelmed these days, and and torn, you know, because we do want to see everybody who we want to see, and we do love more people than we can possibly see, you know. It's like there's so many more people and events that we want to see and do, and we can't possibly do it all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not and stay sane and have any degree of health or anything. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the things that I see when I'm working, it's one of the things that I see underneath illness over and over again, is people making choices that are not things that they really want to do because they feel like they have no choice. They feel like they have to.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it doesn't turn out well.
know,
the thing is, it can take 20 years to show up. You know, I could be working on somebody and I can say, what happened in 1972? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, oh, that's when, you know, I was going to go into business for myself, but instead my wife got pregnant. And so I was afraid to quit my job, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had that happen. I literally had that happen. And, I mean, with clients. And I've seen that type of thing over and over again. And so it's like we are being called to the mat this year, 2010. We are being called to stay present with ourselves, to know what we want, and to honor our own bodies and to honor what we want.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's a big challenge. You know, and particularly because there's such a fine level of looking that it requires. Now, the more we practice looking, the more we practice being the observer of self, the better we get at it. So the finer we can see,
mm-hmm.
the finer level. So, you know, because there's like a sharpness in there where we want to pull away from it. It's painful. There's places where it's painful somehow. I don't know why it should be painful to look at these different things, and yet somehow it is.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to really be committed to doing it if we want to do it with any degree of success.
Mm-hmm.
To be committed to be clear and honest with ourselves, you know. So we all think we're honest, but the truth is that we have varying degrees of honesty.
mm.
Yeah. Mm. Sometimes we're more honest than other times.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That's helpful.
Good. Thanks for calling in, Melissa.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
In the question.
All righty.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yeah. So for next week's show, I keep wanting to interview somebody again. I loved my interview that I had with Brenda Galloway, the naturopath, a couple of weeks ago. For those of you who haven't heard it, you might want to go back and listen to it. And I have so many friends and colleagues who I would like to interview. So I keep thinking I'm going to get that set up, and it keeps not happening, but maybe it'll happen next week. So I hope you'll join us next week when we tune in. And meanwhile, for anybody who's local, I want to invite everybody local to the Bay Area. I want to invite everybody who's listening to come to my open house. I'm opening a new office in Kentfield. And if you go to my website, let's see. Oh, the information isn't quite up there yet, but it'll be up there. It'll be up there before April 11th. So, and my website is www.insightguidance.com. www.insightguidance.com, and that will have the information. As we get closer to April 11th, I'm redoing the website, so it's still a work in progress. And local people, I'd love to meet you. And meanwhile, for the rest of you, I hope you'll tune in again next week and join us on our show. So the theme of this show and every show is how do you stay more connected? And these ways of being the observer of self and tuning in, these are all ways that will keep you more connected with what you're doing here, why you came to this planet and incarnated, and how can you be the clearest you that you can possibly be in tuning in. So I hope you'll tune in again next week. And thank you so much for joining us. So again, we were broadcasting from Marin County, California. And I'm Carrie Alter, your host. And this was Spiritual Integration Radio. Thanks for joining us.